Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles again into the Gospel of Matthew.
Chapter 19.
From verse 1 up to 15. The Bible says, when Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" And he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." They say to him, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men. And there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it." Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. Let's pray. Our glorious King, living in heaven, we come before your holy presence, thanking you for this time given to us to come close to your throne of grace and worship you with our weak words, oh Lord. But we thank you for the cross that brought us near to you. Oh, that's why our weak forms of worship make sense to you, because of the cross. Lord, we thank you. And now we want to hear from you. Let your Holy Spirit use me to teach us your word, so that, Lord, we go back home filled, satisfied, edified with your word. Use us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We continue with our series in the Gospel of Matthew. One day, I bought New Vision newspaper, and I found an article in it. A man who said that he was thinking or planning to divorce his wife,
because
she was not liked by his home. At his home. I mean by his parents and relatives. This shocked me seriously. I asked myself many questions. These parents and relatives, how did they allow their son to marry someone they didn't like? And two, do men marry women for their parents and relatives or for themselves? In this fallen world, different cultures and people have different views concerning marriage. And in this sermon, we are going to look at Christ's view on marriage and celibacy. We have 3 points. We'll begin at looking at Christ's view on divorce. Then we look at Christ's view on celibacy. And finally, we look at Christ's view on children following him. As we begin with our first point, Christ's view on divorce. Found in verses 3 up to 9. We read verse 1. When Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. When Jesus had finished these words, which words? These are the words found in the previous chapter. Chapter 18. Words about who is greatest in the kingdom. Words about the parable of the lost sheep. What about how to deal with a sinning brother? And what about the parable of the unforgiving servant? And the unforgiving servant. So now, after those words, we find him in chapter 19, leaving Galilee. Remember, Jesus Christ was raised in Galilee. He went to Jerusalem only occasionally during Jewish feasts or festivities. Maybe that's the reason why his teachings and miracles were more accepted there in Jerusalem than in Galilee. Because he was not a permanent resident of Jerusalem. A prophet has no respect in his own land. And don't forget that most of his teachings and miracles happened in this part of Galilee. But now is departing from Galilee, where he never came back again. He didn't come, but he's now living for good. He did not go back to Galilee as a permanent resident till after his resurrection. He was born in Bethlehem, but grew up in Galilee, Nazareth. Nazareth was inside Galilee. He could go to Jerusalem but come back to Galilee. But now he's after telling his disciples that the Son of Man has to go through suffering and being crucified on the cross. Now he's leaving his home of residence to now go to Jerusalem for that. The Bible says, and he came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. There was an area that used to be called Beyond the Jordan. We know that the Syrians used to live beyond the Jordan. Even Galilee used to be called Galilee of the Gentiles. He didn't want to go direct to Jerusalem. He wanted to go the other way via the Beyond Jordan area. This region, some commentators say, it was generally called Berea.
Berea.
It was part of the kingdom of Herod Antipas. Meaning that though it was for Gentiles, it was under Herod Antipas,
who
was ruling Judea. It was customary for Jews to travel from Galilee to Judea through Perea. From Galilee to Jerusalem through Perea. Without passing through
Samaria.
So now Jesus Christ leaves. And a large crowds followed him. And he healed them there. Although these crowds were not following him for his words, they were following him for his miracles and for the bread that he was feeding them with. But whoever followed him, he healed. As the Bible teaches him, he did not heal those who did not follow him. He healed only those who followed him. Any lesson for us to learn there? Yes.
He
is not there for each and every. But those who follow him, those who cry to him and say, I'm a wretched person, heal my soul, he will. And it's a bit dangerous for some of you who just think that you're already born again. I pity some of you who already think you are born again. Instead of opening your nakedness and sickness to him and say, heal my soul. Knowing too many scriptures does not mean you are born again. Now we go to the foolish questions. Okay, and our first point, remember our first point is Christ's view on and a divorce. We have two sub-points there. The foolish questions and the wise answer. Now we begin with the foolish questions. There are two. The first one is in verse 3, and the second is in verse 7. Let's begin with the first foolish question in verse 3. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And you hear, some Pharisees came to him. Not all. Because even among the Pharisees, there was still debate concerning what Moses had said in Deuteronomy chapter 24 about divorce. They were divided in two groups, two major schools. The first school was that of Shammai, and the second was that of Hillel. Each group had understood and taught that passage differently. The school of Shammai maintained that divorce was unlawful, except in case of adultery or unfaithfulness. While on the other side, the school of Hillel, which was more liberal, too light, thought that a man could divorce his wife for any reason. Among them, even if she burned a bread, she's preparing a bread for the husband and she burns it. You write the letter. Remember, Moses did not allow them to chase without writing that letter. In the same group of
Hillel,
later a rabbi of this school, added that a man is free to divorce his wife if he found someone more attractive than his own wife. When I look at Pauline,
This one looks
to be prettier than Priscilla. I rush home. Priscilla, pack your things and go home. That's how women have become like papers, like nothing before this group of
Hillel.
They were very sure that whatever opinion Jesus would bring forth would have put him into trouble with any of the two schools That's why the Bible says they came and tempt him. Some versions say test, but I like this word, tempt. Because to test might have something good in it. Just like our teachers test us before they promote us. But to tempt is to push someone to express an opinion that would put him into difficulty. And they're asking him, check the question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Any yes or no answer from Jesus would put him into trouble with any of those two groups. Just try to think, I've explained to the two groups to you. If Jesus said yes, this group would be on his neck. If he had said no, the other group would be on his neck. Let's go to our second sub-point, the wise answer. The wise answers. And we have also two wise answers. The first one is from verse 4 up to 6. And the second is from verse 8 up to 9. Let's begin with the first wise answer in verses 4 up to 6. Verse 4. And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Jesus answers by appealing to God's original purpose in creation. Exactly. It was a good practice then. It was a good practice of interpretation to counter one proof text by appealing to another text. And this is what I always tell you here. Study scriptures.
So my
so that you stop answering questions that come to you with your own mind, but with scripture. Yes, you always answer the doctrinal questions and objections by appealing to the word of God. Remember, any yes or no answer would be a trap to him. And check this wise king. He did not bring yes or no. He says, have you not read? Do you see the importance of reading? Don't allow people to read the Bible for you. Read for yourself. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Not, have you not heard? No. Have you not read? Pastor, you have read the our pastor preached well today. Why do you want to be preached to? You don't want to read the Bible yourself. That's why they bring their lies and deceive you and you accept. Because you don't want to go into scripture yourself. And he says, he who created them from the beginning, God man, who alone came from heaven, confirms that they did not evolve from inferior creatures, but they were created. He did not say that when they evolved. No. He who created them. The doctrine of creation is being stamped by God, man. But when you go to your universities, they teach you there the theory of evolution. And you start coming to disturb us here. But Pastor, it makes some sense. It is you who came from a toad, from a cockroach, not me. I mean you, whoever is trying to believe that the theory of evolution makes some sense, it's you that came from that toad. Christ, who created everything, says he who created them created them male and female, not male and male, not female and female, against gay marriage. Gay marriage is refuted by our Creator. He created them male and female. Shame on any country and government that is allowing gay marriage. Verse 5, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Is he still quoting from Genesis chapter
2?
And I wonder here. He says it's the man who is going to leave his parents and want to go and stick to his wife. Who is that? We thought that it's a woman, a girl who leaves her home to join her husband. There's a lot of teaching here. Have you ever tried to wonder why? When a woman remains close to her relatives, there's no problem in the family. But when the man wants to remain close to his own family, always trouble comes. It's because of these words. He has to leave his father and mother and be, let me get this word here, and cling to his wife and stick to his wife. The word, the Greek word used here, it means to stick. It is two things that have been bound together. Separating them is difficult. And when you do that, you leave them with bruises and wounds. Yeah, so when you decide to get married, then you want us to stick you to your husband or wife, not to separate again. So you need to think twice before you decide. Pastor, I want to get married. Baganda banoba nyoku singa any other tribe in Uganda. Yes, according to my research. Shame on you. Baganda banoba nyo. Too much here. And he continues, verse 6, he says, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. They are one. Let's look at the second foolish question in verse 7. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? They asked him the first question, expecting to trap him and get him somewhere. They have failed. The wise king did not say yes or no. He explains otherwise. They are not happy. They bring the second foolish question. So now, what do you want to tell us? Why did Moses now allow men to write them certificates of divorce and let them go? And then the king brings his second wise answer. Verse 8 and 9. He said to them, because of your hardness of hearts, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. So Jesus Christ again goes back to the original things, the way things used to be in the original.
Yes, at the
origin. Not the way they are now. Moses allowed you because of your stiff nakedness. And this is exactly what God does with any stiff naked people. He teaches you and warns you and warns you. Romans chapter
1,
verse 24 tells us the same story. That God open the doors for them to perish. I want to read that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 24.
Romans, Valomi, Esuresoka.
Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, that is stiff nakedness, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Okay, so you can continue. So you see how also, you know, you can be doing something and think that it's the right way, because when you do it, things move well. Don't you see our churches are booming? That means we are on the right track. That's not so. God can allow you to continue in your foolishness and
rebellion.
Moses allowing the Egyptians Jewish people to write certificates of divorce to their wives,
Musa okukiriza abayudaayo okuwandiika ebbaluwa ezibagoba bakazi baabwe,
did not come for good.
It was
because of sin. So that we cannot really follow that. Let's go to our second point. Christ's view on celibacy. Verses 10 and 11. Now, when Jesus is explaining these things to the Pharisees, his disciples are there with him. And they start scratching their heads. Jesus is explaining these things differently. Remember, they were also Jewish people. And their mind, their view was, fell in one of those two groups. Either you divorce her for each and every reason, or you divorce her only for adultery. Jesus' approach is different. And they also get shocked. Verse 10. The disciples said to him, if the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry. His disciples, this is what I call my sub point here, the disciples' conclusion. They decide to go with celibacy because they've seen the danger of getting a wife or a husband and be bound together. It is easy according to Moses' law. Easy according to the school of Hillel or school of Shammai. With the school of Christ, things become tough. And the disciples say, no, master, we'd rather live without a wife. And our second sub-point, the master's advice. The master's advice. So he has seen the fear of his disciples vis-à-vis marriage. He's heard their conclusion. He comes in. He wants to advise them. Verse 11. He said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. Do you know what you are opting for? Celibacy? Inside him secretly he's saying, I'm the one who created men and women, and I created them so that they marry each other. Celibacy is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. In other words, it's not easy. If you think marriage is because of my explanations, you don't know what you mean by remaining single. And he goes ahead in verse 12 explaining about two types of single people.
He says
there are of three types. Some are born like that. Just nature or God himself brought them to this world like that. They can't marry, they can't be married. Some because of impotence and other reasons. Even if they wanted, they just can't marry. Others were made like that by sinful men. Through castration. In the Roman Empire, not long ago, and some other kingdoms, when you want to serve the empire, if you are a man, they have to castrate you. Even if you don't want, I'd like to marry. But at the same time, I want to serve my empire. You are forced to be a eunuch, someone who will not marry. And the third group, they make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. Not for any other reason. They feel if they remain alone, they can serve the Lord better. And Jesus ends it this way. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. The third one. If you want to remain single so that you serve Christ. And with the third group, maybe Jesus was referring to the Essenes. Maybe Jesus was referring to the Essenes. Yeah, the Essenes. This is a sect of the Jews, among the Jews. A sect, a religious sect.
A dini.
Yeah, we have the Pharisees, we have the Sadducees, we have the Essenes. So these Essenes taught that marriage was not suitable for their job. They didn't have children of their own. But they used to adopt the children of the poor. They often rose to distinction, the Essenes. And these people held important offices in the state. In Acts chapter 8, verse 27,
you
find one eunuch
who
was big in the kingdom of the Queen of Sheba. Yeah, so you see these two groups of eunuchs. Some are born like that. Others are forced by people. They don't like it. They don't like to marry. But some people, some institutions that force them to be eunuchs. This is where the Catholic priests, Roman Catholic priests, fall. Who authorized them to request their priest to be single? Jesus himself says, what you are opting for is not for anyone. It's very tough, very difficult. And that's why you find many Catholic, Roman Catholic priests with children. Many have died with HIV/AIDS. Where did they get it from? You know, maybe it was from the other razor blade. The major source of HIV, it's the major. We have others, I don't deny, but the major is still sexual immorality. Because they did not decide it on themselves. And institutions chose it for them, they are not managing. And the third one, our brother Paul did not marry at all. And no one served Christ in the Bible like him. Tell you. He was free. I was in the US, my heart was beating poo-poo because of my family. Paulo, his heart could not beat like that. He was alone. You want to remain single? The one who created you has told you that it's not easy. But if you can manage, he says, it's okay. I have decided to remain single, then you start cheating there. That's very, very wrong. Now, before I go to our third point, let me bring some light on what Jesus Christ meant here. In verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality, and marries another woman commits adultery. People have been debating on this for years. Did Jesus allow divorce? Did he not? My answer is just very simple and straightforward. Jesus allows divorce here on one ground: adultery. Okay? But he does not end there. He says, when you want to send her into divorce, make sure you don't marry again. Even you, the woman, you want to divorce this man, make sure you don't marry again. So that's why I say Jesus Christ, yes, allows divorce, and no, it does not. Are you following me well, friends? Follow the words of the reasoning of Christ well. He is in between here. If you find him, her, into adultery, you are free to divorce. But remain alone for until you die. At the back of your mind, don't forget what he said, that this is not for each and every. Do you remember that? The remaining alone. The remaining alone. He says this is fire. Not everyone can manage that. So, okay, you found her in that. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Muzuma. I have proof. I found her. I found him. Therefore, what? You want us to begin the process of separate? Yes, Pastor. Are you sure you'll manage to remain alone until you die? I don't know, Pastor. If you don't know, then what comes should come in is forgiveness. Some, maybe in your heart, some of you can say, adultery, that is too big. There's no sin that can't be forgiven. Peter asks,
Master,
how many times my neighbor should sin me in one day and I forgive him? Seven times?
No,
I did not tell you seven times.
But
I say 70 times seven. In one day. 70 times seven. Forgive me, I forgive you. Forgive me again, I've forgiven you. Forgive me again, I've forgiven you. 70 times seven. It is impossible for someone to sin against anyone 70 times 7. How much is that? 70 times 7. No, it's impossible. Jesus is simply saying, forgiveness has no end. And if you come to our side, what did we do against the Holy God? In the Garden of Eden, can you compare that with the adultery of your wife or husband? That was huge. Slapping the Holy God into the face. But he came looking for us. There's no sin that can't be forgiven.
It
is just not there. Let us not just even Jesus said, if it is adultery.
Yeah,
for sure. If it's adultery and you feel really that you can't really live with him or her. Sure, you can divorce. But remain alone till and don't forget, he said it's not for everyone.
It's
not for everyone. Because you are going to divorce him or her. Then after only 2 months, you've been on fire and you start cheating here and there and you end in true fire. To cheat? Because your body is on fire. Because you divorced him or her. And then this little fire, meaningless fire into your body will push you into real eternal fire.
And
Jesus asked, what can any man benefit if they gain the whole world and lose their souls? Therefore, forgive. Just as he forgave you. Moreover, if he or she comes to you and cries, forgive me, my husband. Forgive me, my wife. Our third and last point. Christ's view on children following him. 13. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. So now, after talking about divorce and marriage, divorce and celibacy, then he wants to give his view on children following him. People are bringing their children to him. Touch them.
So,
and the disciples said, no, this, our master is too big. Go take them away.
But
that attitude we see it with many Christians these days. You reach a church, you ask people you find there, I'd like to see pastor. Who are you? Does he know you? Do you have an appointment with him? Because their pastor is too big to be met by anyone, like any cockroach like you. Pastors, should you be as too important like that? And he said the master's intervention. Because the children had been chased. I don't know whether they had been brought by their parents. But both parents and children were disappointed already. They had nothing to do. And the master had to intervene. Leave them alone. Bring them to me. Because the kingdom of heaven. Many people make mistakes here. And member of RBC never teach. That would be heresy. That would be the kingdom belongs to children. Who told you? And that's why some teach that any baby who is aborted straight to heaven. Who told you? I know there are angels, small angels. Who told you there are angels? Sin begins at conception. When the two eggs come together, that thing is a sinner. Now to tell us that these are small angels, so when they die, they go to heaven. Even this sister here, if she dies, to heaven straight. Who told you? They are stinking with sins. Jesus did not say this, what he said. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. To people who behave like children in some way. Because in other many other ways, you know, you should not behave like children. Okay? The children, you know, any adult who can come and tell them whatever, they believe adults easily. And the Bible says you should not be children who are being tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine.
So in some
area, Jesus wants us to be like children. To find a child who keeps anger for a week. Me, I don't know. I've never seen that one. Anger. Yeah, this message, you know, I sweated with it. I need to go the way I prepared it. Obusungu mwana kubanga asunguwade omkoze chintu na sunguwala which number oyo simumanya tewe ndabo oyo ni no mu aka distance oyo wanja ulo abana belabira mangu. Children forget very fast. You can do any big thing to him or her. They cry. They hate you. Give it 30 minutes. Hey, mommy, look at this. Jesus wants us to be like that. Now we are not. So this pastor annoyed me last month. This pastor. 3 months you are called. This pastor. This brother. People who are like children in some way, the kingdom is for them. Let me end with these words. We've learned a lot of things from this. He ended up by touching them. Blessed them. For one to be blessed, you don't need to touch them. That also was a custom. In the Middle East, it was a custom, which is not a custom here with us.
So
you don't need to touch someone for him to be blessed. To pray for someone, you don't need to touch them. Otherwise, if that's what you believe, then we should stop praying for our brethren in the US, in America, in Europe, in Australia. As a church, we thank God that we don't separate our children from our worship service. During Sunday school, they go into their room, we remain here. During many worship services, we are all together. Don't send them away. Don't leave them in their room until the end. But you know, they disturb. They make noise. Let them make noise. We like those noises. That's what we say RBC is a family integrated church. Where we don't separate children from adults. Jesus is not for adults alone.
He's
for all of us together. Leave them there. You want to marry? You want to be married? Think twice. When once we bind you, you follow the things of your culture. You could no longer will Saturday. Nothing can start to jump out again.
Shall also excommunicate you.
Exactly. No divorce. No divorce. When you think, well, you say that both sides are not easy. Marriage is not easy. Celibacy is not easy. Now where should I go to? Because you think, most of you are single. You say, here, life is not here being single. First join us. Come and join us. But I don't want to scare you. Life is sweeter here. My Lord said that it's not easy to be single. Not everyone. That's not for everyone. But he did not say that marriage is not for everyone. He didn't say that. He did not say marriage is not for everyone. No, if marriage, he says marriage is for everyone, because he who created them at first, he created them man and woman. Men and
female.
But celibacy is not for everyone. It's not for you. If you are in Christ Jesus, marriage is the best place to be. May the Lord help us that even before you enter marriage, go there ready to forgive him or her anytime. In anything. Who told you? Not me. Who told you? I did not tell you that adultery is too big. I did not tell you. I've told you that no sin can't be forgiven. Period. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words you've shared with us this morning. Let them have place in our hearts. Let us meditate upon them day and night. Let your Holy Spirit expound them more and more in our hearts, so that we understand your mind, your will with our marriages. with our lives. Help us, oh Lord. Some of these things, Lord, are not easy. Even if we preach them like this, they are not easy without you. They are not easy without your help. Oh Lord, help us. Help us. We thank you, we give you all the glory. And these things we pray through Christ who died for us. Amen.